And a very good morning to you. This is the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790 is the number you call, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. I stressed send because I still see folk trying to call us via that number because for broadcast purposes and the quality of the broadcast, the WhatsApp calls are disengaged. We can't take calls on that number or listen to voice messages for that matter. The audio is muted. Michelle Braffitt is the producer, technical operator, and handling the phone lines. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 with our usual breaks for the regional roundup. We track the latest at noon. We have also network news from Flo because it's Thursday. And then we have the latest at 12:30, of course. And during the course of the day, I'm reminded that the District Emergency Management, I think that's what it's called, the DEM, will have be doing some work as well. So you may get alarms and other things on your notices on your phones, etc. As I speak, all lights have gone, so I hope I'm still in contact with you. Michelle seems to think we are, so good. It's going to make a little difficult what I wanted to say, but I saw in today's Barbados Today, the newspaper, a comment from the head of the private sector agency. I think that's the correct title. He's also head of the BERT monitoring program, Ed Clark, saying that the retail business in Barbados was under stress and the COVID restrictions were putting some small businesses out of work. Also saw a comment attributed to Hotelier Gordon Seal, who said that if we don't ease the restrictions on quarantine, etc., we can kiss the hospitality industry goodbye. And looking, I was trying to look at some of the messages on WhatsApp yesterday for Corey as I got ready for today's program. I saw a host of them that he hadn't even had a chance to look at. And a lot of them referred to persons in distress, persons who needed care packages, who didn't get care packages, etc. Interestingly enough, last Thursday, I picked up the newspaper. I held on to it after the program because I usually look at the newspaper about 3 or 4 times. And the article on the front page of the newspaper last Thursday caught my eye. According to the acting director of the National Insurance, the National Insurance Department paid out $3.1 million in jobless benefits so far for the year. In addition, 176.8 million in unemployment and severance claims were made and paid in 2020. So 176.8, 3.1, that's about 180 million, roughly. $180 million paid to Barbadians in 2020 and 2021. So let's play connect the dots. If the retail sector is under stress, the hotel sector is under stress, hotel workers have not worked for a year, people writing WhatsApp messages saying they have not paid their bills, that they need care packages, what did we spend $180 million on? Because we can't have it if we in distress can't pay our bills and need care packages. So, where were the lines? Let's play connect the dots. The lines were around Shopee, supermarkets, banks. Now, I don't think they were depositing in the banks because if they were depositing in the banks, they would have money. So we spent $180 million in the supermarket and at Shopee paying all utility bills. That is a lot of money. It wasn't paid at Eddie, as in Abed, because he said they were closed, or at SY, because they were closed too, nor the barber lady who called last week on the program, nor the village shops, nor the mini marts and the convenience stores at gas stations, they were closed. But we spent $180 million at the supermarkets. We know which ones because we saw the cars and the lines and utilities. Somebody did well during the COVID lockdown. Very well. Brass Tacks, good morning.
And the lights good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, sir.
Well, you catch me off guard. because I was preparing
for Peter?
Peter, as he told me, look for him this week.
Peter is doing Tuesdays. He asked to do Tuesdays, so he's doing Tuesday.
He didn't came right on Tuesday.
Because he was alternating with Dr. Hines.
Okay. But I've got to put some lashes on him. He cannot put patrons out there to stand outside the office. He knows he ain't coming to work.
Well, he's in France, so he might have a little challenge with the mail system.
I get it. I may have to tell him go to France.
He's already there.
Now, despite the fact of that, I think I'm capable enough to join in what you were saying just now. You know?
Well, you could tell me what you wanted to tell Peter too, you know?
Well, yeah, let
I might not respond in Peter manner.
We have an arrangement.
You have an arrangement.
The development and the changes in management of government.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how interested in that I am. But anyhow.
People do not like you to go back and look at where you came from. It was very important for you to mention just now, national insurance, and where all of this money is going. Now, you see, I'm born here, and I am one of those people who try to, which you know, I do a lot of reading, and I try to remember the development of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the sugar industry was the prime
revenue earner
in this country. You know, it is only after 1967, 66, 67, I can't remember that year, that national insurance was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
We had a season which you used to call hard times. I know if you hear about that. That was a term was used after the crop time finished.
Heard of it on several occasions. It was explained in great and graphic detail, believe it or not, during fireworks by Mark Fingal.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The people would tell you, if during the crop season you don't say something, when hard times hit you, you're going to be in trouble because there was no national insurance, no unemployment benefit, none so.
Correct.
But we had to survive. You would know that I always speaking about Andrew's factory. The reason behind that means or meant so much to me, that in 1955, when we had the storm, that factory became my home as a child because our house got blown down and the management allowed those people that had their houses blown down to live in what you call the Palm Boiler Quarters. The Palm Boiler Quarters was kept there for when the Palm Boilers came from Guyana. That was their residence at the factory. And that meant a lot to me. But what I am getting at, those hard times, our family who was involved in the sugar industry, had nowhere to turn for unemployment benefit. I warned some of my friends when this COVID hit. I said, when you are receiving unemployment benefits, you don't feel it until it is dried up. Then you have nowhere to turn. But fortunate for us that we had something called, that was introduced by the Prime Minister, which we call the care packages. And those days there were nothing for. We had, as I tell you.
You didn't have a benevolent fund either? Or that was only for a certain
fund.
Or that was for a certain
fund.
Level of person?
Nah, I had nothing for.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I felt.
Now, just checking because there are various things that were implemented over a period of time to assist workers at various levels in certain industries. And so, look, let me say this to you. I've said this to to call us on more than one occasion. And I say it to you too. The problem you face is that persons who were born, let's say, after 1980, right? 1980? Yeah. Let's say 1980, just to round it off. Persons born after 1980 have no idea what you're talking about. They have no idea what hard times felt like because it's a story they heard or parents tell them about it. And so when you say to somebody who was born in 1980 or post-1980, tighten your belt, what does it mean to them? When you look at how they live today, let me back you up. Since you like history, and you know, let's talk a bit about history. Once upon a time, back in the time you're talking about, in the 1940s, 1950s, perhaps even late 1930s, I don't know. When you said to a Barbadian, own a piece of the rock, that was their ambition, to own a piece of the rock, it meant getting a spot on a plantation to put a chattel house. And the chattel house was expanded as the family grew and their income increased. That's how they developed themselves. Then they were able to purchase the land at peppercorn rates, and they changed the wood into wall as their children grew up and so on. That's what owning a piece of the rock meant back in the 1950s, 60s. By 1970, 1980, owning a piece of the rock meant buying a spot of land, putting it down until you could afford to build. And then starting to build, put the foundation. When you get some more money, put some bricks. When you get some more money, you build up the ring beam, you cover it over, you ain't painted or nothing, you move in, and you put linoleum, congolonium, whatever you want to call it, on the floor, right? And you live with that. That was in the 1970s. So by 2000, 21 years ago, owning a piece of the rock meant going to a real estate agent, getting a down payment from the bank, getting a mortgage, and getting a 35-year mortgage, because you expect to be working to the end of time, and you'll get salary increase, you'll get promotion, you'll go overseas on vacation, you're going to bring in things via FedEx and whoever else, and that is what owning piece of the rock meant. It has changed over the years, the same statement, piece of the rock, but it has changed over the years. Here's what's happened. We've had no hurricanes that blow down the whole island, had people scrambling at the supermarket, had no water, whatever. So we got a comfort level. Today, COVID shattered that image, and people are facing something they have no idea what it is. So those who went through Janet, and those who went through hard times, who saying, when I ain't feeling nothing yet, we used to walk to school with no shoes, and we didn't have bus after 9 o'clock. Half the population looking at you and asking, what foolishness are you talking about? I never catch bus in my life. I get carried to school, I get bring back home, put my shoes in my hand, for what? I throw them by the side of the road and get a new pair of Nikes. So they don't understand, they don't feel what you're talking. They hear you, but they ain't feel. Sorry, that's my history lesson. I rest.
Makes sense?
Makes sense?
You had some of these things right, but all weren't right.
But I don't get everything right. If I get anything right, I would have graduated at the top of the class. I left at the bottom.
This COVID-19 has brought everybody to a position where, and I would ask you this question, the amount of people that is calling in about not receiving the care package left me to think, is it that these people really need the care package, or they want it because it is free? You understand where you're coming from?
I understand where you're coming from. Let me say it to you, right? As a Jamaican comedian called Bert. There's this something called Bert News. I remember when there was the Skok drama in Jamaica, he had a piece that said there were placards and demonstrations in Jamaica today. And the placard said, free Dodos. So a woman was asked her opinion, and she said, I don't know what a Dodos is, but if it's free, I will take two. Now, Right. You understand? So there are people in need, and there are people who want. And two of us could sit here and decide who in need and who want, but we won't know. Because there are lots of people who hide their pride, but they need. Exactly. And there are people who in need, but all they have is their pride, so they won't tell you.
That's that. Know, so. I will conclude by saying this. And I hope other people will join and bring their views. Mm-hmm. I am satisfied. I am a person, I got similarities pertaining to you with your style of life. I have sat over the years, I was involved in politics for 50 clear years. At 20, I was speaking on a political platform. And you one time asked me, well, how are you admiring you to the own? But the thing is, that party does not make you. You make the party. And there are different personalities in political parties that will draw your attention according to what they do for the society. Now, let me say this. I am satisfied, and I can repeat it as often as I possibly can, that I was so glad that this is something that I was preaching for my political years. We fought and we follow Black Lives Matter in America. But here in Barbados, it is not Black Lives Matter. It is political party division in this country where some people will say, well, you are associated with the B. When it is getting power, don't give them anything. And I am glad that Mayor Martley, and they say this over and over. This is the thing that touched my heart. When she said every house in this country should get a care package, no political attack from. And as a matter of fact, she cannot do no better because she's responsible for all 30 constituencies. Thank you, Dennis, for allowing me to discuss with you this morning. But I had my agenda set
with Peter. No problem at all, sir.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you giving me your time. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
I want to continue from your preambles in relation to, I'm of the opinion that a lot of the readers of the book, COVID-19, seem to have gone away from the meaningful pages. And this morning, as I pick up The Nation and I read page 5 and page 6, I realize that there's several factions of Barbados who are challenging at this moment the position of to open or not open. Based on what I've also read, I read where the chief medical officer is responsible for decision-making in this process, more so than the Minister of Health. Now, when we look
where you get that impression from, sir?
If you read page 5, page 6, There's a ruling by the magistrate. Magistrate rules against Minister of Health can't be informant.
Correct. And that means?
And down in the body matter, it says matters of concern must come from the chief medical officer.
Right. That don't mean he's in control. He's a person with responsibility for doing that.
Let me correct what I
said. Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Because you see, sir, we could read the same thing and come to a different conclusion, which is the sweet thing about the law.
I am of the opinion that the final say would have to rest with the chief medical officer.
No, sir, the lane of the charge, not the final decision, sir.
The lane of the charge
has to come from the person who, according to the magistrate. And that too, I am sure, will be challenged at some point.
It is challenged by the
prosecutor. There you go.
Based on the fact
I read the article.
They want an amendment to that. Uh-huh. But what I'm saying is that this is frightening. When you look at the church calling for a reopening, sections of the church, I think when you look at what Mr. Steele said, and Mr. Steele is a very important factor in the hotel industry in Barbados, being a Bajan who owns the property that is installed in the hotel industry, and his statement to the fact that if it continues like that, he will have to close his hotels. Mm. And if you read where the chief medical officer said that if tourists are coming here, have to abide by the decision of wearing the mask.
Correct.
I am very, very concerned, Mr. Johnson, because we started to get a little cracks in the linoleum now. So you let your foot get slipped through the flooring.
No.
Where are people going to believe that one section is doing it right and the other section opposed? So nobody's torn the line for a situation. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this is that if there's an opinion that we're not ready to open as yet, but we can set a date down to on the calendar for opening. We can prepare several people, small and big people, for this opening, which will mean that we will have an opening of everybody and not some understanding one section of the rules and another person not. So that's why I said that when I listened to your preamble this morning, well, Mr. Johnson truthfully has read, and I tell you anyway this, I personally believe that we have to read from the same book. In this condition, we have to read from the same book. And if everybody believes that they are advised by the chief medical officer in relation to this situation, then give him time, make a demand of him, and go to that time.
So here's the problem. Here's the problem that we face, right?
Yeah.
The problem that we face is, in our haste sometimes to do the right thing, we do it the wrong way. And I think we have reached the stage of our development where we must be big enough to say, look, I wanted to do the right thing, but I went about it the wrong way. That's why people just end up in court. Because they will be told, look, you're vexed with your mother, or you're vexed with your former partner, or you're vexed with whoever. You wanted to take the things out of the house and move on, yes. But don't climb through the window and break up things to take it out, okay? Go to the person, tell them you come for your things, let them stand aside, walk inside, pick up your things, walk back outside. Don't mash up nothing. Don't spit in their face. Don't cuss them. Don't do nothing so. Take up your two shirts, your pants, and get along with your business, okay?
You got cats and boyfriend, yes.
Well, if you want to carry, if you want to carry an impartial third person and you stand up by the gate, you do so. So here's the problem. When we decide that because Mr. X down the road getting away with it, I can do it too, or I don't like the party in power, so I can do what I feel like, or the magistrate only spiting small people and big people getting away, so I can do what I feel like, we got problems. When we decide, but they have fed on the West Coast, and they got people walking up on the beach, am I going to have my little bram in my yard? That's where the problems start. Because we cannot decide how to manage ourselves without comparing ourselves against somebody else who we feel getting away with murder. That don't make sense to me. So that's why I will always walk the lonely road by myself. So Barbados needs to reopen its capacity to make money. Let me be clear about that. A capacity to earn a living for its citizens and to earn exchange for the country needs an avenue, needs to be opened for that to be done. The question is, how can you do it safely, right? If opening it safely means you give your citizens the opportunity to operate their businesses so that they get some of the $180 million that the National Insurance gave them, that they spend at three supermarkets, that they get opportunity, well, they ain't got any much of that 180 left, so they got to wait on the next tranche. Perhaps they'll get a borrow. They need to spend it, therefore, with the gas station mini-mart so that their daughter who work in the pump could get back the little pick. And the fellow who owned the gas station, God get that ye wife could get a little pick where she working, and the banks could open back up, so the other daughter, and so on and so on. If we open those safely, right, then we could say, okay, we've opened that safely, we opened our school safely, we safe so far, we following, let me open it a little further. But if when we open it, mosquitoes start flying, and we got dengue, we got close back the door for a different reason. We know we had dengue. Right? And they're killing us. So now we got a spray and we got... So we cannot continue to look at www.com and run our lives. And that's what we're doing. Everybody's suddenly an expert at everything because www.com say so. And then Mr. Seal talking about closing down a business and Ed talking about business is closed, and Eddie talking about business closed, and so on. Sir, we have to earn the $180 million that we're spending, because that $180 million that gets spent at the supermarket, trust me, I don't think $80 million went to local farmers. If $80 went to local farmers, I tell you, James Paul would be singing the Hallelujah Chorus from in front of St. Mary's Church. But that's not what he was doing the last thing he was on the program. So I am sure that of that $180 million, a lot of it went out Barbados to bring in stuff that we line up outside the supermarket to eat. So somebody smiled all the way to the bank, which is why the others who didn't smile all the way to the bank are saying, open up. And those who don't have any of the $180 million left saying, could you give me a care package, please? That's the dots. How you connect them is up to you.